In the name of Jesus, we look to you, Father. We call to you. We ask you to bless this study. We ask you to bless this time. We ask you to speak to our hearts and teach us, Lord. We ask you to give us the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we might hear what the Spirit says to us, to the church. We pray for your mercy upon our lives. We pray for your understanding of your word. And we ask you, Lord, to fill us and to pour your love into us. So we thank you for this time, and we thank you for what you're going to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 18. And we're actually doing verses 21 to 35, but I want you to go back to 15 because that's where we left off last week. We talked about 15 to 20, and I just kind of want to go over it because it connects to what the verses we're going to do this morning on forgiveness. So Matthew 18, starting in verse 15, it says, "And moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered there in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And of course, we went over last week that this has to do with a brother who sins against a brother or sister. And the rule is that we're supposed to go to them directly first and let them know what they've done, what the sin is against us. We're not supposed to go gossiping and telling everyone else what has happened, but we're supposed to go directly to them. And then, of course, if they don't listen, then we take one or two people to establish the fact that we are trying to resolve the situation. And then, of course, if that doesn't happen, then he says they bring it to the church, and then the church will discipline that person and have to deal with it. And often I believe that the church, we lack in this area, and it's something we need to do more if everything is followed according to procedure, which is first go tell your brother or your sister, then take someone else. And it's talking about offense. And in that, Jesus said to them that they could agree on anything and it would be done. And agree, the loosing and bounding is not about casting out demons and all that type of stuff. It's more about approving the things that God has approved and not approving what God has not approved. And so it's to loose the word of God upon the hearts of people that this is what God said in heaven. This is what must be taken care of down here. And then now we come into verse 21 as we look at the question that Peter will ask about forgiveness. And Jesus will teach on forgiveness. Forgiveness is expected from those who have been forgiven. And I think that's a key here, that if you've been forgiven, then it is expected that you will forgive also. This parable is about forgiveness between brothers. Brother forgiving brother, or sister forgiving sister. It's talking about within the body of Christ. So we come to verse 21 and we're told, or we can read, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." So in verse 15 to 20, you get the parable of someone's offended you and you need to go tell them. And Peter's thinking, well, how many times do I need to do this? Should I do this up to seven times? And he says seven is interesting because he's going beyond what the rabbis taught. The rabbis taught that you were to forgive a person up to three times. And after that, you were like three strikes, you're out. It's over and done with. You've done what you could do. And so Peter brings up the question and asks the Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother who sins against me? And then he says, up to seven times. That's a good number. The number of completion in the Bible, most Jews knew that. Peter might be saying, you know, is the number seven a complete number? Is this something that we should do? And I believe he honestly wanted to know what was required in forgiving a brother and how many times you got to keep doing this. So then Peter, Jesus says to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, of course, most people want to know, well, how many times is that? 490 times. That's a lot of times. I'm thinking Peter just sort of fell back and thought, whoa, I thought seven was a great number. And here he's saying, you're saying that we have to forgive up to 70 times seven? 490 times? Who could count that many offenses? I personally believe that if you're counting how many times you're forgiving someone, you're not really forgiving. Because why are you counting? To counting is to keep a record. To keep a record is to have proof for later. We can bring it up and throw it in their face. You see, I've already forgiven you 102 times, man. We're getting closer to that 490, and sooner or later I'm going to hit it, and guess what? I'm not going to have to forgive you. I'll hit that number. You keep this up. And so we look at this number and we think, you know, if I'm counting, you know, I'm probably not really forgiving this. Jesus is telling Peter, you need to always forgive others who sin against you. That can be hard. See, forgiveness should not be based upon what you might gain from it as much as releasing the other person from what they've done. Because if you have forgiveness, you're not really going to be bothered by what has actually happened to you or what was said about you. You can let go. Forgiveness should be unconditional, and it should be unlimited. And personally, I believe that only happens when Jesus fills your heart and the Holy Spirit's working and he's worked inside of you. Because I know many people, myself included, who can hold a grudge and can keep a hold on people through unforgiveness. Well, Jesus is saying you should have the spirit of forgiveness. You should be willing to forgive all the time. Peter, not seven times. I want you to have the spirit of forgiveness where you're forgiving all the time. That, again, it can be tough, but it can also be done. And it should be done within the body of Christ. And here we're talking about brother against brother. I mean, we could go back and think of family members and all sorts of stuff that's happened. People haven't talked in 20 years. That cousins haven't seen each other in 10 years or even 30 years. And not because, you know, we live in Oregon and they live in California or New York or, you know, Pittsburgh. But because there was a disagreement, something was said, and we began to hold a grudge. And, you know, I have found, usually if someone says something to me and then I hold a grudge, I'm now in bondage. How do I know I'm in bondage? Because if you mention their names, I cringe. I don't even want to hear that their name should be forbidden to be spoken in front of me. You know, kind of like Pharaoh. Take Moses' name out. Erase it from the books. No longer can it be spoken in front of me. And that's the way we get sometimes, don't we? I don't want to hear their name. I don't want to hear nothing about them. So see, I'm really the one in bondage. Not so much them. The thing is, many times, they don't even know they said something that offended me. It's just me that's holding this grudge. And then there are times, of course, yes, they have actually did something wrong. So Peter wants to know, what's the rule, Lord? Jesus tells him clearly, it's 490 times, Peter. You ought to have a forgiving heart all the time. The number's ridiculous. That is, there's so much that you're supposed to always do this. Now the question is, do we do that? Are you able to just let go and forgive people? It's not easy, but it can be done. Jesus will illustrate his point. He says, therefore, and this is with a reference to this matter of forgiveness, therefore, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. The kingdom of heaven is like what's happening down here on earth. And he talks about a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. The king to settle accounts, the idea is here, is the king who has all the resources, all the money, had bookkeepers. And they were taking care of the books, and they were, you know, counting the money and overseeing it all. But now it was time to examine the books. Well, we're going to find out this bookkeeper wasn't too honest. He had taken some of what didn't belong to him. And when he had begun to settle accounts, and the word is reckon or balance the books, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talent. Now, there's a bunch of numbers out there of what is 10,000 talents equivalent to. I'll make it the simplest one that I could find. Basically, it's $10 million. He had taken about $10 million out of the king's treasure through the bookkeeping. And he got caught. So there was one that was brought to him, and he owed him 10,000 talents. This is a huge number. It's giving us the picture of so much. But it also tells us how wealthy this king must have been that he didn't even miss $10 million. I mean, he had a lot of money. And we look at this and we see this guy, and he got caught. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So this is the rule. Leviticus tells us that this is what happened. That if you owed a debt and you could no longer pay it, you had to sell yourself into slavery. Now, in the Jewish thing, you couldn't treat him as a slave. You had to treat him as an employee, but they were to work off their debt. And in some cases, even the wife and children were a part of the deal. And in this case here, Jesus is saying that the master decided that, you know what, you should be sold, and I'm taking your wife and kids with you, and you're all going to be sold until this money's paid off. Where are you going to get $10 million for a guy and his wife and kids? I mean, that's just a lot of money. But this is what his judgment was, that he needed to pay back because of his sin. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Now, how many of you think this bookkeeper was going to pay back $10 million? I mean, it really wasn't going to happen. But what does he do? He fell down before him. He bowed before him and he pleaded. He asked for mercy. I believe he knew who his master was. And he asked his master to be patient with him until he could pay it all back, even knowing there's just no way that's going to happen. He would never be able to put that kind of money aside and pay back the debt that he owed. And of course, this is a picture of God and our sins towards God. We have multiple sins. There's just too much. We can never get right with God. There's no way we can ever pay back for our sins. Only through forgiveness is it going to be offered, as we'll see here in verse 27. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debt. The master was moved with compassion. That's a lot of compassion. When you think of how much he owed the master, he says he was moved with compassion. And in that compassion, he released him, it says, and forgave him his debt. What do we see here? First, the master had tons of compassion, pity. He took pity on the guy. Secondly, it said he released him, means he had already put him in prison. And his wife and his children, they were already locked up. They were already confined. We see they're locked up. It said, then he released them. He let them go. He set them free. And then it says, and then he forgave him the debt. He wiped it clean. He made a zero balance. How would you like all your credit cards and house payment everything just to one day be zero balance. I know I would. It'd be awesome. It'd be a nice blessing from God. I mean, I would be, hooray, hooray. You know, I owe nothing. This is what this master did. And it represents God cleansing us of our sins. Now, the servant did not deserve this forgiveness. He didn't deserve this zero balance. He didn't deserve anything that he was received. It was purely an act of compassion and mercy on the master's behalf. Nothing more. I mean, nothing less. The master is the one who took and absorbed all of it that he might be set free and his family. And when you look at this study and we look at what the Lord is teaching Peter and the other disciples about forgiveness, he's showing us that God is in abundance of mercy and compassion to forgive us all that we've ever done. And for some of us, we got some wretched stuff in our past, man. We got some stuff we're ashamed to tell anyone about. For others of us, you know, we had a pretty good upbringing and we have all these, you know, softer, smaller things. No problem telling people. But there's a few of us, there's some stuff I'll never share with people. Just, it's too horrible for me to think about. But yet God knows all these things. And whatever it is we might have, the compassion of God is like this master is there to give to us and to set us free and to cleanse us and to put us at a zero balance, man. Well, we owe nothing anymore. And this is what this master does. And so the good news is the family would be released from prison and they would be forgiven the debt. It says, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Pay me what you owe me. Now, how much was he owed? All kinds of different numbers. And it's because our times have changed. So if you read a commentary from 50 years ago and you read a commentary from 20 years ago, the worth of thing has changed. But basically, they say it's roughly around $17. I mean, the guy owed him hardly nothing, which was still a lot of money in those days, especially when, you know, they worked for a penny a day. Wasn't, you know, it's a lot of money still. And when you think about what he was owed, he's demanding that he would be paid back, and he grabbed the guy by the throat and started shaking him and telling him, you're going to pay me everything that you owe me. Which, of course, we know is interesting because of what he was just forgiven. So his fellow servants fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, didn't we just hear these words? Verse 26, the servant himself asked the master, the exact same word, the other servant, told his buddy, hey, man, be patient. I'll get you back that money. Now, here's the thing. The second servant, it was possible for him to actually pay back the $17. It definitely wasn't for the servant who owed the $10 million. No way he was going to pay that debt. But the second guy, it's very possible he could have was able to do this. And he asked him for the exact same thing that he asked the master, to be forgiven, to have patience until he could pay it back. And it says, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay his debt. I want you to notice something. This is a pure choice. He would not. Not that he could not. He would not. He made a choice not to forgive the guy the debt of $17 in comparison to what he owed. He just made a choice. I'm not going to do it. And usually that's what happens with us. We're the ones that have to make the choice when it comes to forgiveness. We can choose to forgive, or we can choose not to forgive and to hang on to whatever's been done to us. And usually what's been done to us in comparison to what we've done to God is small. It's not huge things. And yet, here's this guy who had the opportunity to extend mercy as mercy was given to him, but he chose not to do it. He would not do it, we're told here. See? He made a choice to hang on to it, to keep it. And there are times some people, they just get off on being angry. They like holding a grudge. They like thinking they got someone around their hands around their neck and that they're choking them out. But honestly, the truth is, at least I know in my life, I'm the one that's in bondage when I'm holding stuff. I'm usually the one that's all messed up because I refuse to let go or to forgive. It says, so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, we're told here, and came and told their master all that had been done. So these guys are watching. They've seen what has happened. Obviously, we can figure out from this verse, they knew what happened to the servant, how he was forgiven this tremendous debt. And then they watched him with another servant and how he had no mercy. He had no pity on the guy, but demanded that he would pay him all and threw him in jail. Put him in the prison to keep him locked up. And so they went and told the master. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me." He didn't call him wicked because he owed him the money. He called him wicked because he didn't show compassion to his fellow servant like he asked for compassion when he begged the master. And the master called him a wicked servant for not demonstrating the same type of compassion for such a small amount in comparison to the millions that he was guilty of. And again, that happens to us. And our sins before God are the millions. And our sins before each other, they're change. It's nothing. We get hurt over things that people say or things that people might actually do. And yet Jesus is trying to teach Peter and the disciples about forgiveness. And he brings them the comparison of something small to something huge. And you know what the truth is? If you don't understand how huge your debt was to God, you can never forgive the minute things. And you know, Paul wrote about being a sinner. He said he was the worst amongst the apostles. And then later in life, many years later, at first he said he was the worst amongst the apostles. Then later he said he was the worst amongst all the believers. And at the end of his life, he came to recognize that he was the worst among all men. You know, the longer he walked, the more wretched he realized he was. The more he saw himself as a sinner who constantly had blown it. The more he recognized the past of the decisions he made and how sinful he really was in the heart. Not so much the actions. I believe Paul recognized the inner heart and how wretched that he was. And so from the beginning of his walk to the end of his walk, he went from being the, you know, well, amongst you apostles, I'm probably the worst, to, you know what, amongst the body of Christ, I could see myself as being the worst. You know, I did put people in prison and have them killed, had them stoned, had Stephen stoned. But then when he got done, he was at the end of his life. He said, you know what, I'm just the worst sinner of all people. And when you can recognize who you are in comparison to God and his holiness and righteousness, you will come to understand what Jesus is saying about we are the ones that owe the huge debt. And it is the compassion mercy and pity of God that is given to us to cleanse us from whatever it is that we might have done. And because God has forgiven us, Jesus is telling Peter, you know what? You think you have to forgive your brother 7 times. I'm telling you, you need to forgive him 490 times. You need to always forgive his brother, because what he's done to you is nothing in comparison to what you've done to God. And God's forgiveness for you, Peter, is beyond numbers. He's trying to help them see the picture. And I think it's a picture we would do well to grab a hold of and understand, because then it would make it easier to forgive others. He said in verse 33, "Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And the answer is yes. Yes, we should forgive others who sinned against us, because we have been forgiven. Now, are you experiencing that? Are you living that? Are you participating in that? Sometimes there is an actual willful choice that we must make. We have to choose to forgive. Remember, he would not, but he could have. Other times, I'm totally convinced God puts it in you to do that. You can't do it on your own. God has to put that in you. I know there are times when I have to go and ask God to give me forgiveness for something that I don't want to do, but I'll do it because I'm required to by God. And so I have to open myself up and say, Lord, you need to put forgiveness in me for this person, that person, because I don't have it in me, but I know I'm supposed to do this, but I need you to help me with this. I've experienced all of these in my walk with the Lord. I've experienced him just putting stuff in me that I had no idea was even there. It just came out of me, and I didn't understand what the heck is going on. When I first got saved, you know, some of you know, I was stabbed in the back many years ago. And the guy that stabbed me was one of my homies who stuck me and 7 other guys. And I, from that day on, I carried a gun because I was going to kill this guy. He stopped coming to our neighborhood because I was packing and kept packing for years. Was arrested twice with the gun. Go get another one, because I was determined I was going to find this guy. And when he came up, and he was going to be dead. He put my mom into a lot of heartache. Gina wasn't even born. She was in Laura's tummy still. And I was angry. But then, you know, I got saved. And I didn't even know God had taken away the anger. Because when I got saved, I was fighting a 20-spoon possession or 22-spoon possession of heroin. And I was in and out of the court, and I had to go turn myself in when I finally made the deal. And God blessed me by not sending me to prison. But guess who I run into in the Torrance substation 6 months after I'm saved? Who's in the same cell when they take me in? It's the guy that stabbed me. I couldn't believe it. Don't have my gun. No. I had a whole new look for him. God had already put forgiveness in me for him. I told him about Jesus. I told him about what the Lord had done in my life, and that I had forgiven him. And it's funny, because I believe God did it when I got saved, but I didn't say the words till 6 months later when I actually saw him. I was able to say, you know what, I forgive you, man. It's all good. And share the Lord with him. And sometimes God does that for us. He just puts it in us. And other times, it's not that easy. We really do have to say, Lord, I know this is wrong. I know I shouldn't hold this grudge. I know I should be forgiven because you have forgiven me. But it's hard. I can't do this. And it's then I have to pray, Lord, please fill my heart. Give me the forgiveness I don't have so I can represent you. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to let people walk over me either. Don't get the wrong understanding here. There has to be some accountability for people. And you have to do what God has called you to do. But one of the things he called us to do is that we still have to forgive. Should you not have compassion on your fellow servant just as I have had pity on you? Yes, Lord, I should have the same compassion that you showed me. I should be able to demonstrate to others. The same way. God is the example of true forgiveness and letting go. There is no better example than God. And Jesus flat out asked, and shouldn't you have compassion? This master represents Jesus. In 34 he says, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. What happened? Why did the master become angry? Because the guy wasn't demonstrating the same compassion that he received onto his fellow servant. And you know what the master did? He was like, he said, you know what? You want to live under the law? Then you'll live under the law. You want to have the judgment of the law and put this guy in jail? Well, the same thing's going to happen to you now. This is the way you did it. This is the way it's going to be done to you. So he puts them in prison, and he says he let the torturers have them. The torturers, from my understanding and all the research that I can do, are the jailers that were allowed to scourge the guy in confinement. They're allowed to torment them and get as much money out of them as they can to pay back the debtor that they owe. That they're allowed to pick on him. And one thing we read about this story, which is kind of interesting, it says that the man was put into prison until he should pay back the due. We're not told that the family went back this time, because it wasn't their responsibility. It was his. He's the one that made the decision to go after the servant, the co-laborer with them. And the master put the guy back into this place of torment. Now, this is not saying that when we forgive others, if we don't forgive others, we lose our salvation. Because salvation is a free gift of God. Amen? It's got nothing to do with that. But I'll tell you what I think it has to do with. I think that if I don't forgive people who have sinned against me as I have been forgiven by God, then the torment of my life will be on me. I'm the one that's going to have the guilt. I'm the one that's going to be frustrated. I'm the one that's never going to have the peace. I'm the one that's going to have sleepless nights. Can you say amen to that? Have you experienced that? See, we're the ones that are ones that are going to be tormented because we're not forgiving. And it's like the Lord was saying that the master said, if you will not forgive and because you wanted to live under the law, well, then you can have the law. Moses brought in the law, but Jesus brought in mercy and grace. And we're the ones that are not going to be able to live with ourselves in our own torments, in our own frustrations, in our own weaknesses, not able to just let go. And so he put him back and said, you're going to stay there until you pay what is due. Now, of course, in the natural, $10 million, this guy was never getting out. Except I think there was one way. It would be that he would confess that what he did was wrong and set the other servant free. And by extending forgiveness to the other servant, the master, who was, we know was full of compassion, could say, now you can go free. I believe that is for us today. That we are given the opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, I am tired of feeling guilty. I am tired of not sleeping. What is going on? You're not forgiving. You need to let go and forgive that person. Now, that person can be your wife. It can be your husband. It can be your child. The co-worker. It could be the stranger. It could be the neighbor. It could be the creditors. I mean, you could put the list a mile long of who it can be. You get my point. But whoever it is, we need to forgive. And then we will be set free from the torturers who come to torture us until they get what they've come to get from us. And for us, it's about forgiving. And we need to let go and forgive. Then Jesus says, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So will my Father do to each of you." He's pointing to all 12 disciples. My Father, God the Father, he will do to each of you if each of you from your own heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From the heart. See, it's not just a mental, I forgive you. But inside, you're still holding on. He's talking about from the inside, you have honestly let go and moved on. And how do you know that? Because you'll treat them just like before. You'll have love and compassion for them. You'll care about them. You'll want what's best for them. You won't have to hide when you're down the market and they're coming up one aisle. Go the other way. You don't have to do all that, man. Because you have honestly, in your heart, forgiven them. And you know, when that happens, sometimes they're the ones still dealing. Guess what? They're the ones that have the torturers on them now. They're the ones that don't want to talk to you, hear your name. They don't want to be in the same aisle as you at the market. They don't want to bump into you. Because guess what? They now have the torturers. They know what they've done, and they can't live with themselves. But man, we're set free. But Jesus said, if you don't forgive from your heart, this will happen to each and every one of you. You'll be hounded until you come to terms with this and let go and forgive. God the Father will do to his children who will not forgive each other their trespass. God will allow us to go through the hard times. He'll allow us to be tortured in our minds if we don't forgive. And you say, but Pastor Augie, you don't know what I've gone through. No, I don't. I don't know what you've gone through. But that doesn't change what Jesus is saying here. It's got nothing to do with what you've gone through. The requirement is still the same. We still have to forgive no matter what. There are times we cannot. We need to ask God for his help. We need to ask Jesus to fill our hearts and the Holy Spirit to fill us and show us. Why? Because I want to obey God. That should be the ultimate desire in your heart, is you want to obey God. And if you want to obey God, then I believe you will call out to him and you will ask him to help you forgive whoever that person is, no matter what you've gone through. As tough as it is, your heart will say, you know what? I love the Lord. I know he died on Calvary's cross for me, and he sacrificed himself and forgave me all my sins. Now, how many of you have confessed every single sin to God? I know I haven't confessed them all. I know they're covered in my confession when I said what we call the sinner's prayer. But I haven't sat down and detailed every single sin and list them all. God knows them all. But I know he's forgiven me them all. Because I confess myself a sinner by nature. And I know that his blood on Calvary's cross was shed on my behalf. Do you know that? And if you do, then you have a requirement to forgive. If not, then you're left to the torturers of your own mind. And the guilt and the sleepless night and everything else that comes with that. You can and you should forgive. But you can make a choice not to also. Just like this guy, I will not do this. That's up to you. But you're going to live with the consequences of that choice as well. I'm going to read you some verses that I read that Jesus said about forgiveness. Matthew 6:14. You can just write these down. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There's sort of a condition here on forgiveness. You want to forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you don't want to forgive, you won't be forgiven. Again, I don't believe it's talking about salvation, but I do think it's talking about my relationship with God and what happens in my head because I refuse to forgive someone. And all that comes with that, by the what we call the tormentors, the guilt, the frustration, the sleepless night. You know what? You don't want to forgive, then you don't have to. But this is the consequence of that. If you want to forgive, then guess what? Your Father will forgive you, and you don't have to live and have those sleepless nights. Luke 6:37, he says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." You will be. Not maybe, you will be. If you forgive, the Lord says, you without a doubt will also be forgiven. Another condition. But you have to be willing to forgive. And if you do, you will be forgiven. Ephesians 4:32. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." These are the responsibilities of Christians. You can read all of Ephesians 4. But one of them was forgiving one another. This is what Christians are supposed to do. We are supposed to forgive one another. Too often we don't. We go back to verse 15, and your brother offend you, then go reprove your brother. What did I say last week? What happens many times in the church? A brother or sister gets offended, they run out of the building, they go to the other church down the street, and then they just start bad-mouthing that whole other church. Instead of doing what they were told to do and go one-on-one, straighten the matter out, and if you want your brother, hey, the idea is to win him back and to be reunited in the fellowship of believers, and then don't pass it on anymore. But too often, we like to hit the door and run somewhere else. I've heard it. I've heard people come here and tell me about different churches all over and what they did to them. And for many years, I used to listen to it all until one day I got to the place where the Lord said, "Don't even listen anymore. It's a sin for you to even listen to that stuff. You just cut them off. So, you know what? I'm sorry." And I've been very cautious with that because you know what happens? I know if they are bad-mouthing the church down the street when they come here, when someone here does something to them, they're going to leave and they're going to bad-mouth us to the next church. And then we're going to look bad to the next church because these people have gone bad-mouthing. If they did it there, if it happens here, they're going to do it over there. And what did we say last week? Just tell them, you know what, I really don't want to hear about that. You really need to go talk to, we'll just use me for the example. I hurt them. You need to go talk to Pastor Augie and get this straightened out. But you don't know what he did. I don't need to know. You go talk to Pastor Augie. If he's hurt you and offended you, go see him. That's between you two. Go straighten it out. See, that's what we should be doing. And then when we get here and it says, forgiving one another, Colossians 3:13, that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Forgiving one another. Why? Because Christ has forgiven you. So you must also do. This is what Colossians is saying. You must also do this. We're held to this accountability of forgiving one another. Forgiving others is a must. It's not a request. It's a must. This is what should be done. Unlimited forgiveness is expected to those who enjoy the limitless forgiveness of God. Isn't God always forgiving us? Don't we come and repent? Lord, I'm so sorry. I blew it. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't we come to God constantly saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry"? So then why aren't we doing that to the brother or sister who did something wrong? And maybe we're the brother and sister doing the something wrong. We need to ask God to change our hearts. Unlimited by God. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you are so forgiving, Lord. And how we pray this morning that you would work in us that we might have your heart. And I pray this morning for us, Lord. I pray for anyone who's harboring unforgiveness right now. I pray that you would set them free from this bondage that they're under, Lord. From whatever it is, maybe it's sleepless night, maybe it's the thought of the person's name being spoken, whatever it might be, Lord. Fill our hearts with a cleansing and a washing this morning, Lord, that we can represent you as you have wanted us to represent you, to be a people that stand for your truths and what you have given to us, Lord. You told us, Lord, that we are to be forgiving to one another, that we are to forgive and we will be forgiven, that we are not to hold our trespasses upon another, Lord, and you won't hold them against us. And so we ask you to fill us and to use us to set free those in bondage. And maybe it's us. Maybe we're the ones that need forgiveness, Lord. And I would even pray for us now that we can let go and trust you. And maybe we just have trouble doing it, Lord. Can we be honest enough to say, Lord, I just have trouble doing that. But Lord, I need you to fill my heart and set me free and help me to move forward. As I have received your forgiveness, Lord, I desire to give that out to others. So, Father, fill us this morning. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for Calvary's cross. Thank you for dying for our sins, Lord. Thank you for making us free. You said he who is free indeed. We thank you, God. And we pray that you just continue to work in us and teach us and fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to live the life you've called us to live, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to do communion.